there may be someone listening to me today feeling as though the bottom has really dropped out this time. What do we do in a time like this?
Elizabeth Elliot says, "I realize that I don't spend nearly enough time praising God. I think hymns are a wonderful help. So let me just make that tiny suggestion that you begin your day with thanking the Lord." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor, Keep a Quiet Heart, and Discipline the Glad Surrender. Helping you face your journey with joy today, here's your friend, Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about some of my favorite hymns, the hymns that have been the foundation of my life. And one of today's two hymns is How Firm a Foundation. I can remember my brother Dave Howard singing that when he was a little boy, about 3 years old. My father used to sing with us and to us, and as my father would be working around the house on a Saturday, he would often be singing. And I can see my little brother Dave tagging around after him like a little puppy dog, learning these words, which we often sang in family prayers. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said? To you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. There may be someone listening to me today feeling as though the bottom has really dropped out this time. Feeling at loose ends, somebody confused, perhaps a man pressured to the breaking point, pressured by business, pressured by a difficult marriage, pressured by the responsibility of a family, and the apparent impossibility of providing for them as you wish you could. What do we do in a time like this? Do you feel as though your faith is just about to disintegrate? Is your mind filled with unanswered questions? Well, here's a powerful hymn for you to learn, and if you can just get your hands on a good old hymn book, just study these words. The second stanza, which I sang as a little child and didn't have the slightest idea what it meant, became tremendously powerful and meaningful in my life when my husband Jim Elliot went into the tribe of Indians called Aucas, and a few days later I received word on the radio that he was missing. The words that God brought to my mind were from Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. Now I'm sure that those words in Isaiah are the source of the second or the third stanza of this hymn, How Firm a Foundation. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. And, dear friends, it doesn't matter how deep the water may be to which he calls you. The rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. We often feel as though they're about to, but they will not be too great. Why? Because he says, I will be with thee. Thy troubles to bless. Does that sound crazy? God can bless your troubles. He absolutely can. And the last line of that stanza says, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. Sanctify thy distress. God has done that for me. In my darkest hours, my deepest waters, my hottest fires, God has been there. God has gone with me. God has been true to his promise. He is with us. He has promised never, 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 never to forsake us. And there really are five negatives in the Greek of that verse in Hebrews. The fourth stanza. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace, all sufficient, shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume, and thy gold to refine. And I'm sure that the hymn writer must have had in mind that passage in 1 Peter 1. If gold has to pass through the fire in order to be purified, so does our faith. So God is refining us when through fiery trials our pathway shall lie. And he has promised also the words that Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is all you need. And the hymn writer puts it, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. And the last stanza has been like a strong tower into which I have run again and again when I've been in trouble. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. And then, by contrast with this hymn about deep trials, there's a wonderful hymn of praise that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Now, that's a good hymn to start the day with, because most of us need to take ourselves by the scruff of the neck and say, awake, my soul. But don't just awake and stagger, stumbling and scowling into the bathroom and look at yourself in the mirror, but try this. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee. I love that. And then there's a stanza that doesn't occur in most of the hymn books, unfortunately. You know, hymn books keep cutting things out and changing things around and generally mutilating things. And it's too bad, because the hymn writers always had a progression in mind. And stanza one led logically to stanza two, and stanza two to stanza three, and so on. So when you chop out the second one or the fourth one or the seventh one, you're chopping out a very important segment of the meaning of the hymn. This hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns, was written by Matthew Bridges, I believe, in the 19th century. The second stanza, crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring and lives that death may die. Have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus Christ lives in order that death may die? And death is going to die one of these days. You can depend upon it. He is the death of death and hell's destruction. And a stanza that has been cut out of the hymn book that I have in front of me here, but one of my favorites, says this, crown him, the Son of God, before the worlds began. And ye who tread where he hath trod, crown him the Son of Man, who every grief hath known that wrings the human breast, and takes and bears them for his own, that all in him may rest. Now I realize that the words of some of these old hymns are a little bit hard for the modern ear to take in, especially when you just hear them read aloud on the radio and you don't have the hymn book in front of you. So I want to repeat that favorite stanza of mine from the hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns, and see if it doesn't have something that has a direct word for your heart and your need today. Crown him the Son of God before the worlds began. In other words, he was the Son of God from the beginning of time. He is the only begotten Son. He is one of the three persons of the Trinity, and he existed before all worlds began. He was not created. He was begotten as the Son of God. We're speaking, of course, of Jesus Christ. Crown him the Son of God before the worlds began. And you who tread where he hath trod, crown him the Son of Man, who every grief hath known that wrings the human breast. So in other words, if you are treading the pathway of grief or suffering or pain or sorrow or pressure of any kind, you are, in fact, treading the path that Jesus Christ trod, the pathway of pain. You who tread where he hath trod, crown him the Son of Man. Remember that he was a man. Remember that he was tempted in all points exactly as you and I are. Crown him the Son of Man, who every grief hath known that rings, and that's W-R-I-N-G-S, just as you wring out a dishcloth, who every grief hath known that wrings the human breast and takes and bears them for his own, that all in him may rest. And may you today surrender to him whatever grief you know, and let him take and bear that grief for his own, so that you in him may rest. And you who don't know him, will you just simply come to him in prayer and say, Lord, I don't know you, but I want to. Show me yourself. Help me to yield myself to you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.